Why are we here? It was interesting. I talked to Matt last night and I said, I have scripture reading. What do you want to do this morning, or what would you like? And he just said, well, basically my sermon is just on the importance or the vitalness of God's word and the foundation and the importance of truth. And so I started looking at some scripture and thinking of some things. And so I'm going to do it a little different this morning. And I want you to close your eyes because I'm all over. And I want you to think of God's word and the importance of that. Even this first one, you may want to be thinking, you just talked about the beauty and wonderfulness of the garden. And I would encourage you as we go through Genesis and the importance of God's words, not only as we hear it taught with Brother Bob on Sunday evening and Matt in the morning, but our own vitalness of God's word in the morning, and each and every day as we rise to spend time in his word. Even as we look at Christ when he was tempted, and that's the first verse I go with. But when you look at that, Satan would tempt him, and Jesus would come across, it is written, it is God's word. And so think about this. And so just ponder, meditate, and close your eyes if that's important to you. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is as everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. For whatever things were written before were written for your learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with gratefulness, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for loving us. Father, as we contemplate and think about who you are, Father, that it would be more than just bread to us, than Father, we would just, that we would live by your words, that we would taste and see how good you are, sweeter than honey. As we were singing this morning, and so joyful and joyous, Father, that we should do that every day as we seek your face. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Father, that we would love one another, that we would come together as a team, as a church body, that they would know us by our love and our love for you. Thank you for this morning. Continue as we worship you, Father, that our eyes will be on you. Be with Matt as he shares. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you in his name. Amen.
Last week, I mentioned John Wooden and just spoke about him briefly. And when we were sitting in Sunday school, Craig said he looked at my notes and he saw John Wooden there. And so he's like, oh, you're going to talk about John Wooden again. And Pastor Bob and Craig both told their stories about John Wooden, who is a Hall of Fame college basketball coach. And not only is he a Hall of Fame basketball coach, but he also is a Hall of Fame player. So he's, I think, one of the only people that's a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach, which is pretty incredible. But it was interesting hearing Craig and Pastor Bob tell stories about him. And you know, we shouldn't idolize people. The greatest thing about him is that he was a Christian. And in his coaching, he based his coaching on biblical principles. And they were very successful. In fact, his team holds the record for 88 straight wins in a row, and no one has touched that. And that was back in the late 60s. So anyway, those biblical principles that he followed in his coaching were very fruitful, very successful. But Julie and I, a couple weeks ago, were listening to a speech that he gave, and it just got us both thinking about how much of his coaching philosophy ties right into the church. I've heard you say this, Pastor Bob, that watching a team that has the fundamentals of basketball, that's conditioned, and that is working in unity as a team, is such an amazing sight to see. Like there's nothing like watching a team that it's like they're all thinking as one, and they're unstoppable. Craig, I don't know, is there a term for that, what I'm describing right now? In the zone, maybe? Okay. Unity. Yeah, there you go. And I can remember you saying, Pastor Bob, wow, what if the church could operate that way? So, we're going to talk about some fundamentals of basketball right now, which is unusual, especially for me, because I've never really played basketball. But, in fact, the last time I played basketball was with Craig, and I think I took a total of 20 shots and made about two of them. And I could tell that they weren't passing me the ball anymore. But it was a really good time and good exercise. I don't know, I just wasn't shy about shooting. But it's amazing, I hear, to watch a team that's just in sync, in the zone, in unity like that. And Coach Wooden, he had three key areas to coaching. He said, these are the three key areas to success. And success isn't just winning, success is doing the best you can. But they were the fundamentals. You need to have the fundamentals down. And kids, if you haven't played sports, that just means the basics. You have the basics of the game down. For me as a defensive lineman playing football at Hamilton, my job was to contain. In other words, I don't let anyone run outside of the linemen. They have to run straight through the linemen. They're not getting outside of the linemen. And that was my job. That was the fundamentals of that position. But basketball has fundamentals. Also conditioning. They need to be conditioned. You got to be in shape. I mean, and that doesn't just mean that you practice hard on the basketball court during practice. That means that outside of practice, you're eating the right food, you're resting, you're doing the right things to be in a good, healthy conditioning. And then the third is teamwork. You need to work as a team. If someone's open, you pass it to them. You don't be a ball hog and try to make all the shots. You gotta work together. And so Coach Wooden tried to instill those three things into all his players. But the carryover to the church, I think, is very, very, very related. For fundamentals, okay, let's focus on fundamentals. I mean, we each need to be solid on the fundamentals of the faith. That's important. We can't just be all about teamwork. We also need to, each of us, have down the fundamentals of the faith. And we find those fundamentals in the Word of God. And Mike, thank you for sharing. But I'm gonna ask my daughter to help to illustrate what I'm trying to describe right now. Eliana. Hey, Eliana. Can I ask you some questions? Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay? All right. Eliana, are there more gods than one?
No, there is only one God.
Okay. Very good. You said that very confidently. All right. In how many persons does this one God exist?
Three persons.
Okay. Very good. And who are they?
The Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Good job, Eliana. Who is God?
A spirit and does not have a body like me.
Okay. Good job, Eliana. All right. A couple more, okay? Where is God?
Everywhere.
Okay. And can you see God?
No, he can only see me.
Okay, all right. He always sees you, huh? All right, Eliana, good job. All right, you did very good. Now, honestly, Julie has been going over in the memory book, has been going over those questions with Eliana. And I'm impressed. I'm like, wow, Eliana, that's great. I need to work on that memory book. Have them down solid like that. I mean, I could answer, but not as clear and sharp as that. So anyway, praise God for how Julie's been working with Eliana for her to remember those. But that's an example of the fundamentals of the faith that we need to each have. We need to have those truths ready, deep in our hearts and our minds. And they need to be there. A verse that I've shared with you several times because it's one of my favorite verses. We're studying and memorizing the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 in our Sunday school class. And it talks about warring against principalities and powers and the darkness of this world. And that's a very important passage. And this one is very similar. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, it says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." We need to be so good in our fundamentals of the faith that we recognize the counterfeit. We recognize speculations. Those are things that are not in agreement with the Word of God. We need to be able to recognize those things. And there's something that I've needed to confess to you guys for probably 8 months that I've been working through personally. And one of you came to me about something that I said in a sermon and told me that, look, Matt, what you taught is not backed by Scripture. It's not in the Word of God. Think back to when we were meeting outside. And I was doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about it, the Holy Spirit, for maybe three or four Sundays. We talked about it so much that my daughter, Analia, would come home and just be yelling, Holy Spirit, around the house all the time because she heard Daddy talking about the Holy Spirit and that was her answer for all the Bible questions, was the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that I taught in that time was that we are to pray to the Holy Spirit. And we're to make requests of the Holy Spirit. And the author in the book that I was studying was adamant that we need to do that. And then someone came and confronted me on that and said, Matt, that's not in Scripture. The Scripture teaches that you are to pray to the Father and you are to make requests to your Father in heaven. Like that's like how Jesus taught us to pray, right? In Matthew chapter 7. And so I've been wrestling with that for, it's been maybe 8 months. And you know, part of that is pride, but part of it was some arguments that I studied that, well, he's part of the Trinity. He's God. You can pray to him. But I came to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. I was too convicted. I couldn't do what I told you guys to do. Because it wasn't instructed in Scripture. And so I need to repent of teaching you that and say that the Scripture teaches to pray to the Father. And I appreciate the one that came and told me that. And you guys need to do that for me, just like I need to do that for you. Hold each other accountable to be in agreement with the Word of God. And it's very important. Another thing that shows how important it is that we know the fundamentals. Another verse that has been on my mind a lot since we talked about it in our men's Bible study, Pastor Bob, is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2:8. Since I've heard this teaching on this passage, I have had it in my heart and mind, and it has guided me and given me wisdom, and it's helped me to know how to respond in a biblical way. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, it's taught me how to be doing the fundamentals of the faith, of the Bible. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." All right? We need to know the fundamentals of the Word to be able to recognize when worldly philosophies, man's traditions, are there being presented before us. As we talk with people, as we evangelize, as we try to disciple people, and these human philosophies and human traditions are coming forward, we need to recognize them and in love present this question. This is the question that we need to present. All right, I hear what you're saying. Here's the question. But do you want to know what God has to say about this? Do you want to know what God has to say about this subject we're talking about right now? Because honestly, you could go around in circles and circles, going chasing human philosophy and ideas, and they'll just take you off in deer trails. But it's got to come to a point where you ask that question and you're firm. Do you want to know what God has to say about this? And then take them to the Word of God. And if they say no, then there's really no point in continuing the conversation, because they don't want to know what God has to say. And we need to pray for them. But there's no point in going around the mulberry bush 100 times. It's one of the fundamentals of the faith. We gotta recognize the deception. And we gotta bring light and truth to it. What does the Word of God say about this? And we should be asking ourselves that continuously, all the time. That's one of the fundamentals. What does the Word of God say about this? It's very important. And I must say, Mike, thank you for what you read this morning. And the Word of God is to be a delight to us, like honey, sweeter than honey. It is like our food. It's like bread. I mean, we should have such a desire to grow in our understanding and knowledge of the Word. But that's not something that you can work out on your own. You can't, in your own effort, have this great desire in your heart for the Word of God. That's something that God works out in you. That's something that the Lord works out in your heart. I've gone over these in the past, and it's so critical that we have to understand that if someone is not saved, if they're not operating with a regenerated heart, and if they're not operating in the Holy Spirit, they're not going to do these things, even if they're not going to do it. They need to have that new heart. They need to have the Holy Spirit working in them to love and delight in the Word of God. And so, it's important to say, do you love the Word of God? Because if you do, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, "By this we know that we have come to know Him." By this we know if we're a Christian, if we love the Word of God. And that doesn't mean that we're going to do it perfectly, but it means we're going to try to be doing it perfectly. We're going to try to live our lives in agreement with the Word of God because we know that is where life and life abundant is. It's by following His Word. So, I'll ask right now, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior and trusted in Him completely? Because if not, what I'm talking about right now is not possible for you. You will not be able to do these fundamentals of the faith. You need God's work in you to make you a new creation, to love His Word. Eliana, good job again on answering those questions. All right? And we need to know the Word. We need to know the truth. But after that, we need to be conditioned. All right? Conditioning is number two on the top three list of how to be a successful basketball player. But I'd say, I don't even know if God numbers these, but it's at the top. Knowing the truth and then being conditioned in the truth, or in other words, having that strong faith in the truth. I mean, you can rattle off the doctrine and the verses, but is your faith strong in those verses? Are you unwavering in your stand on those truths? I always think about this when I think about faith now. I think of 1 Peter 1:7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We looked at that passage a year or two ago, but our faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is more precious than anything we have. Our faith is the most precious thing that we have. Do you see your faith in that way? Your most precious possession is your faith. And we need to be conditioning that faith. I'm trying to think how to say this in a loving way. I'm guilty of it. Well, no, I'm not. A lot of us are conditioning our TVs and our couches as we binge watch whole series. I mean, you could sit there and watch 8 seasons of something in 1 week. And it's all... it's all bubbles, and it's nothing that's going to last. I don't think in bubbles because I was just playing bubbles with the girls. It just bursts. It's of no lasting value. But our faith, the most important possession we have, we should be diligent, consistent in conditioning our faith, nurturing our faith. Again, not to idolize John Wooden, but it just relates to our walk. We need to be, well, as a basketball player, you need to be well conditioned, because many times who wins or loses the game depends on who's in the best shape. If one team is tired, they're not going to make the shots, they're not going to make the passes, they're going to be lagging. But the team that's well-conditioned and strong, they're the ones that are going to make those final shots and the right decisions. Their mind's going to be able to think clearly. Our faith needs to be conditioned because of when those storms come. When those storms come, we have to have a strong faith. We have to have a strong trust in the Lord and in His Word. We need to be praying for Jody Edwards. We need to be praying for Jody Edwards. For some of you haven't met Jody and Paulette. Jody and Paulette are dear members of our church, our fellowship, our dear brother and sister. Jody's in the hospital right now. And he's had heart trouble, has had heart surgery, went into the hospital 2 weeks ago. They took an x-ray and found a mass in his lung. A few days ago, they took another x-ray, and the mass has already enlarged just within a couple weeks. Tomorrow, they're taking a biopsy. And it doesn't look good right now. We need to pray for Jody and Paulette. Now, Jody, maybe I should back up a little bit. On last Sunday night, Pastor Bob was sharing about the Garden of Eden, which in Hebrew means delight, perfect delight. That's what God created for us to experience, perfect delight. That's what the garden was. After that is usefulness. The Garden of Eden was delightful and useful. But Pastor Bob went on to talk about genuine beauty, what true beauty is. That's what I'm telling you, you guys need to listen to that Bible study. It's online. But true genuine beauty is not the distorted beauty that our culture is throwing in our face and trying to make us think. True genuine beauty is a man that loves his enemies. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. That's genuine beauty. A beautiful, truly genuine, beautiful thing is a godly marriage where Christ is the center and the two are one and they're equally yoked in Christ and they're fulfilling the roles that God has given. And they're united as one. That is true beauty. Or a godly home where Christ is in the home and at the center of the hearts of parents. That's genuine beauty. But I want to tell you what was genuinely beautiful was talking with Jody Edwards and him saying how much he loves his wife, how much he wants to take care of her. How he's not concerned at all of either way what happens. He knows that he'll go and be with the Lord if that's the case. He wants to pray. He wants to praise the doctors, praise the nurses, how wonderful they all are. And praise and thankfulness and peace and trust in the Lord. That's true beauty. That's genuinely beautiful and incredible and amazing. And that comes from a conditioned faith in the Lord. And we need that. It's our most precious possession. We need to nurture it. And again, we're not going to expect perfection, but we're going to reach for it. We're going to be reaching for it. And then the third thing is teamwork. You need to work as a team. And as we're looking at these three things, you know, We've got to have all three, even within our body. We can't be weak in any of these areas. We all have to be strong in all of these areas. Strong fundamentals, strong conditioned faith, and then united as a team working together. Us doing that, I believe, is God's design. That's God's desire. That the world would see that and be speechless. They would need to know what's going on there. Because that's more glorious than five basketball players, right? That's more glorious than five basketball players in sync shooting a ball into a hoop. A million times more glorious is a church strong in all three of those areas, working united. Amen. We were talking about this last week when we were talking about relationships. And just a reminder, we're talking about the third and the fourth stages or laws of relationship right now. We're talking about receiving each other unconditionally, just the way that God the Father received us unconditionally. We are His children. We are in His hands. And nothing can take us away from His love. We receive each other in that unconditional way. To love each other in that way. And then the other is the fourth, that we are committed to developing each other's character. Alright? We're committed to each of us being strengthened in our fundamentals, strengthened in our conditioning, in our faith. Finding our giftings and our place within the body of Christ, working together. Holding each other accountable. And there was just a situation this week that I was striving over, trying to figure out what do I do, Lord? What do I do? I want to love. It'd be really easy to just walk away. But Lord, I don't. You're changing my heart. You're putting the desire in my heart that I don't want them to walk away. I want to do all that I can that they stay. And that we continue to grow in our relationship and our love and our spiritual maturity together. So praise you, Lord. Thank you for putting that in my heart. But how do I do this? How do I do this? And I talked to Pastor Bob, and I talked to Mike, and I talked to Ken, and I talked to Dennis, and I asked them to pray. But from talking to them, they directed me and said, Matt, you've got to go to the Word of God. You've got to follow the Word of God. And in Matthew 18, it says, you go first, you correct them. And if that doesn't work, then your next step is you take a couple with you. And you have to talk to them. And as soon as I connected the dots and I knew that is the right thing to do, the fear was gone. The peace was there. The boldness was there. The love was there. And I was able to say, here's the next step. And I want you here so that we can continue our relationship and keep going forward. But the thing is that we We've got to follow what the Scripture says, even though it's hard, and trust that the Lord will work as we follow what the Scripture says. And that's part of the process, too, of us being a team and growing together and accepting and receiving each other. And so we must have truth, strong fundamentals of the truth needs to be strong in each of us. We must be well conditioned in our faith, growing in our faith, nurturing our faith together, and then united as a team, holding each other accountable, strengthening each other, encouraging each other. And if you've been trying to work these fundamentals and your faith, and which you're not alone. There's actually, I would say, many who have tried to work those things out on their own and failed, not realizing that they have not truly received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They have not been regenerated. They're not having the Spirit working in them. They haven't received the new heart that loves the Word, that loves their brothers and sisters, that loves the Lord. If this morning you realize that you've been trying to do this on your own, in your own effort, and you're done, and you're ready to receive the love and the grace and the power to do these things, we pray that you'd come forward this morning and talk to me and let us know so that we can pray for you. Encourage you to come forward. If you haven't come to that place where you've surrendered all to Christ and received Him and Him alone and His work on the cross for your salvation and His resurrection, then that's what you do. You surrender. Surrender any effort, any good work, anything that there's nothing that you can do. Just surrender completely and receive Jesus and His work and His salvation. Amen. And if you didn't do that this morning here, you can do that at home. You can do that anywhere. But please talk to someone before you leave if the Lord's working on your heart in that way. So I'm going to go ahead and just ask Fred if he could please come forward and close us in prayer. Love you, brother. Good to see you. And remember again, tonight, 6 o'clock, come for the study and come for the fellowship. It's really a blessing to be there. Encourage you to be there. Fred, if you could please close us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity to put these things into action now, Father. We pray that you would work in our hearts and lives to conform to your word, Lord, and to be a light to the world, especially now, Father. They are losing hope every day, and Father, you're the only hope. And we want to do your will and be those lights and witnesses for you to those around us, Father, that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.